Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Liora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. As human beings, I think we all understand that we have what we call free will. We have the ability to make choices, to choose. It's not that we're pre-programmed with what it is that we need to do in life. We have choices that we are actually actively making. And I think all inside we often feel that we're faced with decisions. We have to make choices on a daily basis and choices that we really have to think about. It's not just like it's something that's ingrained in us and, okay, you know, this is what I need to do. It's not rote. It's not instinctual always. There's an aspect of instinct, but there's choices that we're making. The question that I have is, what are the parameters of our free will? Meaning we're making choices throughout a whole entire day, from small, very small things like what am I going to eat this morning to bigger decisions that really take a lot more thought, a lot more thinking through, a lot more struggle till we come with to our final decision. Is all of this in the parameter of what we call free will, free choice? Because even when it comes to what am I going to eat this morning, I'm faced with two options. I can have a bagel and toast, or I could have cereal and milk. It is a decision I have to make. There is some thought that goes into it. But is that what I'd call free will, or is that just choice, but not what we'd call free will? And one of the reasons I think it is really important to understand where our free will is, to really understand what does it mean when I say I have free will, I'm making choices, is because this is what makes me as a human being responsible. It gives me freedom to choose, and it also means that, meaning life isn't just happening to me, that I have an ability to make distinctions in my life that come from me. And knowing where that point is, because there's also aspects of life that are not within my free choice. There's aspects of life that just, so to speak, happen. But within that, I think there also is that aspect of I have an ability to choose how I'm going to respond. So even within aspects of life that we are to some degree out of our control, I think we still all understand that within that there still is some capacity to free will. But again, I really would like to understand, and this is what I would like to address with the rabbi after the break, of what does it really mean when I say I have free will? I have the ability to make choice. To what degree am I responsible for the choices that I make in life? To what degree do my life circumstances, the situation I was brought up in, the backdrop of my life, the temperament that I have, am I responsible for all of that? How does that affect the choices that I make? So as we see, free will is a very complex topic, but I think, again, for me to exert myself as me, for me to grow as a person, understanding where my choice capacity is, what in life have I actually chosen, and what in life is maybe not specifically something that I'd say is part of the choice bracket, the choice box that I have. Understanding that distinction is so important for living an effective life. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Liora Mandel.
I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Liora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, recently I've been thinking about the idea of free will. And I was thinking free will is about that we have the ability as human beings to make choices. We have the ability to decide. We're not sort of pre-programmed. We're not necessarily just living our lives based on instinct. We actually make choices. And I was thinking about the fact that I make choices all the time, every day. Every person is making lots and lots and lots of choices. Some choices we don't really think about that much. And some choices are very difficult to make. Like, you know, there's routine choices like what should I eat today? Should I go exercise or not? Should I go to sleep on time? Should I go to sleep a bit later and I'll be tired in the morning? There's so many different kinds of choices. And then there's those choices of someone needs my help and I really don't want to do it, but I know I could. Should I? Should I not? Should I put myself out? Should I not? And I was wondering, are all these examples of different ranges of free will choices, meaning from the day-to-day kind of what should I eat this morning versus I'm struggling, should I help this person out? Or what exactly does it mean when we say that a person has free will? What are the parameters of it and when are we actually exerting it?
Great, great question. You know, free will is a free but not unlimited. Often people think somehow they have unlimited freedom, but they according to our books, they don't. You do come into this world with a starting point. We do come into this world, according to the Talmud, with certain character dispositions. And it's very unlikely that we're going to change any of those character dispositions, although they are not negative. There is a piece in the Talmud that says that an angel by the name of Lila takes the seed of the human being, each one of us, and places it before God and says, will this one be intelligent? Will this one be? But Lila doesn't ask, will this one will be an evil person or a righteous person? That is completely in our choice to be righteous or not righteous. That's our choice. But there is a certain character disposition. The person is born in the world, and they might have, as the Talmud says, a bloodthirsty character. Now, there's nothing really particularly wrong with a bloodthirsty character, just what you do with it. You could become a surgeon, or you could, God forbid, choose to be a serial murderer. To decide that you're going to choose to not be bloodthirsty, that's extremely rare that one could stop that, because that is who they are, and they don't need to even work on that, because there's just nothing wrong with it. Or a person might have an angry streak to them. Now, anger isn't a bad thing. In fact, it would be bad that people don't know how to feel anger, because there's a lot of evil in the world. And I should feel angry about that and do something really good to stop that. The problem is that when you act out anger and rage and start hurting people, breaking things, that you have control over. But you might have a tendency towards anger. And again, there's nothing wrong with anger. It's what you do with it. And you could do great things with the anger. You could do horrible things with the anger. So so it's important to understand that you can't be whatever you want. And I think there's a real confusion in society today. I think there's a lot of self-help books that are kind of promising us that we can be anything at all that we want. And in Judaism, we really have to start with the premise that we can be anything God wants us to be. And what God primarily wants us to be is righteous and to serve good and to bring good to the world with the various character dispositions that we've been blessed to have, even the ones that appear to be negative. Those very characters could be used in very positive ways.
So there really then is this sort of mix of there's aspects of me that are, I guess, predetermined to some degree that I don't really have that much flexibility in deciding, like, as you're saying, characteristics. But then within that, there's certain aspects of how I'm going to use those characteristics that I do have free will. But in my mind, I'm thinking understanding that distinction or where that line is drawn is so important, because I feel like there's so many times we sometimes maybe try to put effort into things we can't change. As you're saying, there's self-help books that try to tell you can be whoever you want, and that's not necessarily true. And knowing what it is that we actually do have control over, because I think there's so many times that there are aspects of where we do have choice and free will, and we just say, I'm sorry, it's just how I am. I can't control it. Meaning there's so many times that both sides of the issue are misconstrued.
Yeah, and the Talmud is very clear, and it says, Hakol bidei shemayim, all is by the hands of God, chutz mi yirat shemayim, except for awe or reverence or even fear. Depends how you translate the word yira. Those three translations are all valid. But that's the only choice we have, the Talmud is saying. In other words, our choice, whether it's fear of God or reverence of God or awe of God, our choice ultimately is in an attitude. And it's in areas relating to service of God. And areas that are outside the area, areas that are outside the parameters of the consideration to serve God and to bring good to the world, that's not within our choice. And I think that's where people get confused. They are spending a lot of time in an area that really isn't what they should be focusing on. What we need to focus on is making choices that are within the parameters of what would be considered Yirat Shemayim, which is living with greater wonder of God, greater reverence for God's will, and greater fear of consequence that one will suffer or one will enjoy in terms of living God's will into the world.
So I'm thinking, like, in practical terms, when you were talking about if a person gets angry, that's part of their character, but they can choose how to channel it. So let's say there's a person who's sort of tends to get angry when they're questioned. You know, they said something and you're not sure if they're right, and there's something that triggers an angry response. And that just tends to be the way that they respond and go through life.
I mean, that's the point, that they have to control. To feel angry, nobody can stop you from feeling angry. God is not going to command you not to feel anger. It's how you act it out. If you start demonstrating restlessness or frustration, or you speak in a harsh manner to somebody, that is completely under your control. That you feel anger, okay, so you feel angry, right? But are you going to act it out in a negative way? You can't do that. But you know, can you say, well, okay, I have this issue with anger, and when people question me, I have to really work on not getting reactive. But what am I supposed to do? Just feel that this angry disposition is just a worthless part of myself? No, I have to find good outlets to use the anger and ask myself, what should anger me? Not people questioning me about things, or, you know, or having to wait in line for something. That's a wrong use of anger. I should read the news and get angry at what's happening to poor people. I mean, yesterday I had a discussion with someone who was so sad. She told me, I don't know if these statistics are correct, but I have no reason to question them not to be, that 30% of high school kids in a very well-known city in the United States don't get through high school. That's devastating. There are 30% of high school kids not finishing high school, don't have high school degrees. And that a person should feel disturbed by that, angry at such a situation. And those who have the capacity to make a difference in that area should go do something about that.
I'm so glad you clarified, because it's so important to make this distinction, as I'm saying, to recognize in so many aspects of life, there's times where we could think, I shouldn't be angry. But the more we say, I shouldn't, if this is how I am wired, this is how I respond, the more effective thing is saying, as you're saying, except I get angry. But now what am I going to do with that anger? Or I sometimes feel sad. What am I going to do with that sadness? Or I get irritated. I get anxious. Or I tend to be very perfectionistic. I have to accept that about myself, but how am I going to channel it so it can actually be used in a good kind of way? It can be useful. It can be helpful in my life as opposed to detrimental. So any aspect of our character, instead of trying to say, I should change this, you're saying, as far as I understand, we have to say, sometimes we have to accept an aspect of, this is who I am. This is how I'm wired. But now my choice is, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to channel this for the good? And there is always an option for any trait, for using it for the positive or the negative. Even kindness, people that tend to be very kind and considerate, if it's not used properly, you can be showing your kindness in the wrong direction. So any kind of trait, it's true. Sometimes I think there's certain ones we think of as being on the positive side and certain traits on the negative side, like, I just don't want that. But the reality is we have to accept every aspect of character, but channel it for the good.
Yeah, I'm sure I've mentioned before in our discussions, story about a fellow who went to a great master and asked him for the secret of life. And the master said, wood, wires, and nails, and go contemplate. Well, he contemplated wood, wires, and nails and did not come up with the answer to the secret to life. And many years later, he's sitting on his porch and he hears this beautiful guitar music down the street. So he wanders and follows his ears to this enchanting music. And there in the park under the moonlight, see this guy gently, beautifully playing guitar. And as he's sitting there enjoying the music, suddenly he hears in his head, wood, wires, and nails. And he realized the secret of life, that with wood, wires, and nails, you could create a weapon. With wood, wires, and nails, you could create a musical instrument, a guitar. And then he realized that there's nothing wrong with wood, wires, or nails. It's how you assemble them and what you want to do with them. And so, too, I people have to understand, there's no part of you that is really, really bad. Inherently bad. Even in Judaism, what's called Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is translated as the inclination for evil. not an evil inclination. That translation of Yetzirah being an evil inclination suggests that the inclination inherently is evil. It's interesting, in Hebrew we have something called the Yetzer Tov, which literally means the good inclination, Yetzer Tov, but in Hebrew it's Yetzer Hara, not Yetzer Ra, but Yetzer Hara, which means the inclination of the evil, meaning it's not evil itself. There's nothing within us that we can't use and assemble and apply to bring good to the world.
When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, getting a better understanding of the parameters of our free will. And it is so important what you shared in the first segment, that there's certain aspects of who we are that's just who we are. But what we choose to do with that, it's like the raw material, as you were saying, of wood, wires, and nails. It's just raw material, but what you do with it is your choice. So it's sort of like, it's like a toolbox that we're all given in life. And there may be certain tools in our box, certain aspects of how we're wired, our character, our disposition, certain situations in life we're put into, but it's just raw material like nails. And we can either use it constructively, as you said, to build a musical instrument that will bring joy and beauty to the world, or we can use it destructively. Same materials could be used to create a weapon. And within us, we have to really recognize that it's up to us what we do with what we've been given. I want to ask you about life circumstances, because everyone also is sort of, there's like a backdrop within which we have these tools. We have whatever is within us, what I call like our disposition, our wiring, as you're saying, that is predetermined what we do with it. That was our choice. But then there's also life circumstances, so many of which to some degree are out of our control, like where we're born, the time period we're born in, the family we're born into. And all of that also has an effect on, I think, our choices, because if I'm brought into a family where kindness and sharing and giving is just part of the norm, we have guests all the time, then when I'm faced with situations in which I have to be giving, well, am I really making that choice, or is that just how I was brought up? As opposed to, I'm thinking someone else who was brought up in an environment where, you know, we have to think about ourselves and these other people, you know, it's their fault that they're suffering. They have to figure life out, and you just, you know, you make money, you save it for yourself. If a person's brought up in that kind of environment and they're asked for some charity or asked for some help, the choice they're making, I'd imagine, is very different than the person who's brought up in a family where loving kindness and giving is just part of the norm. So does that also have an effect on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have a certain tipping point within the scale of our choices. We don't all have equal tipping points. In other words, as you mentioned, you know, somebody that was raised in a family that's constantly giving, 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 could we say that when they give, they're giving from a place of free choice? No, it's become somewhat of their nature. Well, so then what does that mean? It means that that's not the choices they need to be making in this world. Not they should stop giving, doing kindness. But we've all come into this world to make bold, courageous choices to serve God, to serve good Almighty, and to bring good in whatever capacity I personally in my situation can do. And so, you know, like, do I have the free choice to kill somebody? You know what? I mean, maybe, but unlikely. It's like, do I have the free choice to put my finger into a light socket? I have the free choice, but there's no way I would do that because it's so obvious to me what the ramifications of that would be. I just wouldn't do that. So is that still within the realm of choice? It's not, you know, and so everybody has a different realm of choice. And it's interesting to understand that in Judaism, we are evaluated based on where our tipping point of choice is. And that's why we should never judge somebody, because we don't know how great that choice is. You know, we're told a story about how one of our enemies was torturing one of our rabbis. And he was lengthening. He was doing something so that the rabbi would die a slow death. And suddenly this fellow had a moment of repentance. And he says to the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, if I expedite your death, you know, will I get the world to come?" And he said, "Yes." And so this executioner expedited the death, and he did get the world to come. He did get some reward in heaven, so to speak, as the Talmud records it. And it sounds really crazy. I mean, first of all, realize people who for a living were executioners and torturing people, it must have been pretty gruesome, kind of monstrous. And how is it that this guy who made a living out of torturing people could suddenly get some heavenly reward for what did he do? He didn't not kill the rabbi. He still killed the rabbi. He just did it quicker and saved the rabbi some pain. And so the Talmud is teaching us that we are judged relative to who we are. For that executioner, that moment, to even consider to execute someone with less suffering, that was a huge move for this fellow. That was a courageous choice of this fellow. And so it's important that people also not only, first of all, we shouldn't judge other people, but in terms of judging ourselves, to really be able to pat ourselves on the back for bold choices that we've made that didn't come so easy, you know, and it wasn't something we're so used to, but we knew it was right and we chose to go ahead.
So in a sense then for ourselves, when we're recognizing, we're trying to figure out, is this like a free will tipping point? If something's difficult, like we're facing a certain decision we have to make or a choice, and there's some struggle or some challenge, would that be indicative to some degree that this is a free will choice right now that's coming into play because I actually have to think about it more? I feel like I'm making a decision that's not so easy?
Yeah, you know, it's not in my comfort zone. And that's one of the reasons why it says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyirat shamayim." All is in the hands of God, meaning he does everything. But there's one thing that I, and the only thing I can point to and say, you know, I did that. And that is in the area of Yirat Shemayim, which is, again, as we mentioned, reverence or fear or awe. Well, why not love of God? Why reverence, you know? And I think the answer to that is, you know, if I love Shabbat, so there's no big choice there. I love Shabbat. So where do I exercise my choice? If for some reason I love eating kosher, all right, so I'm not really struggling with that one. I love being kind. I don't have a struggle with there. When does the yira, when does the fear or the reverence factor actually figure in? It's only when what I'm being asked to do is something I don't feel like doing. And it's not something I love to do because what I love to do, I feel like doing, I'm going to do it. But what I don't love to do, and I don't feel like doing it, but I know it's right, so I choose to do it, that's when you actually are making a choice. You know, to do what you love to do is not really a choice. You just love to do it. But really, when do we really exercise and demonstrate choice? It's when we choose to do what's right, a right that we don't feel like doing. And that's when human beings grow, when they do, again, what's right, but they do the right that they don't feel like doing. It's out of their comfort zone, but they know it's right and they choose to do it anyways.
What's so powerful about what you're saying is that we're, as human beings, I think we always, one of the things we think that really distinguish us is our free will. And that when we exercise our free will, meaning just, let's say, the theoretical idea without even understanding exactly, which is what we're talking about now, what is free will? When am I exercising it? But it's my free will that really exerts me as a human being and establishes me as, you know, this is how I recreate myself. But I think oftentimes we run away from these kind of free will choices. I think for most of us, if you'd say, you know, would you rather have a day of easy choices, you don't have to think much about it, or you want to have a day where you really have to exert yourself and you're going to have a certain struggle and you're going to have to push yourself a little bit beyond your comfort zone. You're right. That's why I think this is so important to understand. Sometimes those kinds of things we'd run away from. But on the other hand, it's that very opportunity. These are opportunities when they come, because this is what really helps us grow. This is really who I am. All the other choices that I'm making are not necessarily me, but me as Leora, as a soul, as someone who's growing and distinguishing herself, is from these difficult choices that I have to make.
Well, you know, people have really confused freedom. You see, people think that freedom is the freedom to do what I feel like doing. That's not freedom. That's obsession. What I feel like doing is just my nature. Animals are doing the same thing. They're doing what they feel like doing. Right, freedom is really activated when you choose to do what you don't feel like doing, but you know it's right. And that's when you distinguish between an animal and a human being. A lot of people, they want a life that is based on doing what they feel like doing, and they think that's called freedom, when that's not freedom. That's just your animal side. That's no different than an animal. What distinguishes us from animals is we are choosing to do something that we really don't feel like doing, but we're going to do it anyways because it's the right thing to do and it's a good thing to do.
It is interesting because I feel like when I've made decisions like that, you know it's right, but you almost feel like you're, to some degree, you're going against what you feel like doing to do something, the higher calling, to do what's right. I feel good about myself. And yet at the same time, I think there's so many times we just, again, we don't want to have to face up. We just, it's sort of like we feel good when we exercise that muscle. We feel strengthened and stronger. But I think also we live in a society where the message is just do what's comfortable, do what feels good. It's really, it's almost like be like an animal as opposed to be a higher level human being.
Well, I want you to know that that was idolatry. Idolatry, it's no accident that many of the idols were animals or figures of animals. It's like kind of crazy. Man was worshiping animals. And that makes sense because what man was basically saying is, I want to be like an animal, just free and spontaneous. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I'm literally idolizing comfortable because the animal just does what comes natural. I mean, you know, I love watching when a cat jumps. There was a cat that was on my rooftop and he just so gracefully jump. I didn't think he'd make it, but he had this comment. He just jumped over to the next roof. And it's so the gracefulness, the naturalness, the spontaneity there. I didn't even see him hesitating. He just, shoo, you know, and we're in awe of nature, but we didn't come here to this world to be like an animal. We've come here to demonstrate what's unique about a human being. The ability to step outside of myself, get outside of my comfort zone, and do what is not just in the best of what feels good to me, but what's good for other people, and not just what feels good, but is actually doing good.
And I think to be in a free will zone, these are all the thoughts that we really have to have in our consciousness when we're going about our day-to-day. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel talking with Rabbi David Aaron, trying to understand free will, when we actually exert it in our day. And my initial question when I asked when we first opened up the show was, you know, we constantly make decisions throughout the day. You know, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to go today? Is that free will or not, as opposed to the challenging? And now it's becoming clear to me that so many of the decisions that we make throughout our day have nothing to do with free will. They're just almost routinized kind of decisions that isn't necessarily that different than... It's more the animalistic side of us to some degree.
Yeah. And, you know, not only that, it's important to understand that free choice is actually the enemy of freedom. Because, you know, why is it hard for people to make choices? Because a choice means I'm going to limit. You know, until I make a choice, I can continue to fantasize that I could have this or I could have that or I could have this or I could have that. And I think I'm in the world of freedom when I'm actually in a state of paralyzed. And that is why so many people are not making choices, because in the truth is that choice is the enemy of freedom, because freedom is this illusion that I have unlimited options in front of me. When free choice says, yeah, but now I'm going to go through that door and the other doors are going to close, but that's how I get out and get moving with my life. And so people don't understand that as much as they say they want freedom, they don't understand the difference between freedom and free choice. And they confuse the two. And that's why a lot of people are not making the choices they need to be making in the interest of trying to keep this facade, this delusional freedom that they're living in.
And the free choices that we make, though, that's really almost like the substance of what we're here for. So if we're spending so much of our time trying to stay in this comfort zone of what feels comfortable and good and it doesn't really take much effort, then in a certain kind of way, we're almost like wasting a lot of opportunity, because the real reason we're here is to try to make these free choices. And instead of running away from them, it almost sounds like we should be looking for opportunities to sort of exert our free will.
Yeah, you know, it's not about feeling good. It's about doing good. And, you know, hopefully when you do good, you feel good, but not always. You know, not always. You know, when a person has a nice cold drink on a hot day, they immediately get some feedback on that. When a person does an act of kindness, it's a lot more subtle, the feeling of fulfillment in doing it. For some people, it's not so subtle. But we really have come to this world to make choices, because we've come to this world to actualize ourselves as human beings. And what is unique about human beings is really the ability to choose what I don't feel like doing, but what I know is the right thing to do.
You know what is so interesting? Something I was trying to figure out within myself. I was discussing this with my husband recently. There's times where, let's say someone asks me for a favor and I don't even think about it. Sure, no problem. I may even have to go a little bit out of my way, but I'm happy to help. And I love that. It's just love what it almost comes naturally. And then there's other times where someone asks me to help with something and it's like a struggle. And it's like, oh, it's really inconvenient, but of course I could do it and I should do it and I will do it, but I got to try to have a good attitude about it. And then I get annoyed with myself. So I'm thinking, why am I struggling with this? I want it to just be natural. I want it to be easy. I don't want to have to think about this so much. And it bothered me that, like, you know, I wish I could have more times where it's easy, as opposed to, I feel like it's like a struggle to make the right choice, to do the right thing. But the way you're explaining things here, it's actually, instead of, you know, wishing that away, though the times that it's actually a little bit more of a struggle, that I have to think it through, I have to make a conscious yes, I have to make a decision to try to do it with a good attitude, that's actually me exerting my free will. And when I don't even think about it and it's no big deal whatsoever, that's, I'm not saying there isn't significance to that, but you can't compare that to the times that I'm pushing myself more. So it's really actually the opposite. So instead of me feeling like, oh, I just wish things could come a lot easier for me, why do I sometimes feel like I have to struggle to do the right thing? I should almost embrace the struggle as now this opportunity of, you know, but if it was so easy, I wouldn't be exerting my free will to the extent I am right now. This is fact that it's difficult is a great opportunity.
That's right. You know, we love to grow. It's when we're growing, we feel happier. And yet imagine a person goes to a gym and they just don't like how the coach is putting them through difficult things. And they're hoping that they could just kind of sit in the gym with a nice, you know, drink, cold drink and the air conditioning and lie on the mat and sleep. I mean, you came here to work, didn't you? You came here to build your muscles. The only way you build your muscles is by putting them through difficulty, by exerting them, by having something that a force against you that you're pushing against. And what seems to be against you is you're pushing that weight up. That is actually for you, because that's how you build your muscles. And so too, the way you actualize you as a soul, your, so to speak, spiritual muscles, is by choosing to do what precisely you don't feel like doing. And therefore, so many people are choosing the easy way, what's fun and easy, rather than what's difficult and meaningful and growth-oriented. And, I mean, the bill will come eventually, and it's just, you know, who's going to wake up to that quick enough to realize that the difficulties in life are the ultimate opportunities in our life, And the more we try to live in a society that's one big painkiller, that is, really, we become experts in distraction. We don't want to deal with it. But that's when it really life happens, is when you're dealing with it and you're making a courageous choice, a difficult choice, but one you know is right and good.
You know, it makes me realize, too, there's so many hours in a day, and yet we think we're doing, you know, we're using our time, but so much of our time ends up being just sort of gone from us. And sometimes I always think, like, you know, you physically can't take anything with you once your time is up here in this world. But and the choices that we made, especially, I think, when we use our free will choices, the good that we do, I often think of that as like an idea of like that we can send forward. That's really the only currency of the world to come. So when we actually can exert those free will choices, and that's actually the most significant part of our day. And it's interesting, just yesterday, I went to pick something up, and then I ended up spending another 40 minutes helping someone with something. And I remember at first thinking like, oh gosh, I wasn't planning on this. I sort of don't really have the time, but I do, if I didn't for sure. Sometimes I know you do have to say no. It just changed the whole course of my day. And there was a part of me that initially was thinking like, I didn't plan on this. This was like not the best part of my day. And later, and especially now that we're talking, I'm realizing that was actually probably the most important part of my day. And I think there's so many times we think things that are urgent, like even, you know, yes, I do need to make dinner for my kids and I do, you know, need to clean up and there's all sorts of things that need to get done. But on the other hand, if I think about what was the most significant, what was the crown and glory of my yesterday was probably the 40 minutes I hadn't planned on spending helping somebody else that in the moment didn't feel like I want to be doing this. It didn't feel like, you know, I wanted to say yes, but really that was the crown of my day.
Yes, you got beyond your animal side, which wants to just be natural and do what feels comfortable. You know, it's like, you know, imagine we were born in a gym, but we didn't know we were in a gym and we didn't know why we were there. And we didn't understand why everything around us is constantly asking us to do difficult tasks. And we would think, whoa, what a horrible place to be in. What a torture chamber this is. You know, this guy's telling me to push this and run here and jump there. And like, hey, I came here to relax. You know, that's the mistake that people make. They think that we came to this world to relax. We'll have plenty of time to relax when we leave this world. In the meantime, we're in this world to build spiritual muscles. And the name of the game is making choices, you know, and to embrace the difficulties and know that that was why we're here. The difficulties is part of the plan. It's not like some, you know, like unfortunate side thing, like, okay, life is supposed to be easy, but sometimes there's these difficulties. No, I'm in a gym and it's always going to be difficult. There'll be times in between exercises I can take a little break, but I'm here to work hard, to build muscle, and I'm here to build soul.
You know, and also I'm thinking when it comes to free choice, there's times we're here to work and build spiritual muscle, as you said. And sometimes there's situations that happen in our lives that are out of our control. But our choice is how are we going to respond to them? And that is the spiritual muscle that we can build. That's the free will choice of, okay, this happened to me. This is a situation I'm working through. I couldn't choose for it to happen, but now I have to choose how am I going to respond to it? But on the other hand, another way to build spiritual muscle is I can proactively choose to go out of my comfort zone to do good and help other people. And that's an even better way. Now, again, not to say it's going to necessarily mean we're not also going to have things happen to us that are out of our control. But if the whole idea, as you're explaining, is exerting free will choice and building spiritual muscle, and it only comes from some level of challenge and resistance, it's an absolute blessing when we can exert that free will choice in things that we choose, for example, helping other people, doing good, going a little bit out of our comfort zone to do something for someone else.
Yeah, and I go back to that metaphor. If you're in a gym, And the trainer says, so are you feeling comfortable here? And you say, yeah, you know, everything's really comfortable here. Then you're not growing. You're not doing the work. Because if you're comfortable, that's a sign that you're not doing the work. And so nobody's saying that you should be in extraordinary pain. Of course, the person, when they're exercising, you also have to can't overdo it. But on the other hand, you can't underdo it. And so if this isn't somewhat of a stretch, then this is not why I'm here.
You know, it's interesting because with physical muscle, a person can to some degree sort of make more exact measurements of, you know what, 5 pounds used to be really hard, and now that's no big deal. I'll move up to 10 pounds, and now 10 pounds used to be hard, now I'll do 15. I think with spiritual muscle, sometimes it's like, again, the change also happens gradually, our ability to stretch ourselves a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then really do more. But it's like you don't exactly have the physical weight to say, oh, look at the progress I've made. Look at how I'm growing. Look at how I'm doing more. But we almost have to, I think, to some degree, choose to look back on ourselves. That's the idea, I think, of cheshbon nefesh, of doing an accounting of ourselves to realize, hey, you know what? I've really made progress through all of these choices that I've made to become more.
You know, there's an attitude, you know, do what you love and love what you do. And that's very beautiful. I'm not against that. But the truth is, you're not actualizing yourself. That's the whole story of your life. Because animals do what they love and love what they do. But for us to be humans, we have to also do what we don't so much love, but we know that others do love, and this is our opportunity to give them that love.
I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.